Well, I heard that we have one more class. Oh my God, one more. Okay, well, we'll see what we can do here, huh? We'll see what we can do. I've been toying with divine protection. Remember we talked about we were going to pray for divine protection? And then being steadfast. I mean, I kept going back and forth and back and forth. Let's go turn to Psalm 91. Amen. Divine protection. Now, I need to let you know, this is a psalm that I read and pray daily. Amen. And I'll let you in on a little secret. I don't pray it just for me. I have my little list. I start with my apostle, his home, his family. I go to Word of Life Christian Center family, every member, every home, every family. And then I have people in my family that I call them by name, you know. And so this is what I do sometimes. You know, you'll be led by the Spirit. Now, the other thing is I pray it thanking God. You know what I'm saying? I know we have a lot of shells and a lot of wills in Psalm 91, but I pray it as if it's already done. Amen. Ever since Apostle began to give us the revelation of Ephesians 1 and 3, you know, he says, it's already done. And it's like, oh my God, I say, and I'm reading this like shell, but it's already done. Amen. All right, so you can follow me along. I'll let y'all know how I pray it, and then we're going to pray. Amen. For divine protection. Amen? Amen? Okay, Psalm 91. I start off like this. Father, I thank you that we all dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High. We abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I say of you, Lord God, you are our refuge and our fortress, our God, in you we trust. Surely you deliver us from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. You cover us with your feathers, and under your wings we trust. Your truth is our shield and our buckler. We shall not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day, nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wastes at noonday. 1,000 fall at our side, and 10,000 at our right hand, but it does not come near us. Only with our eyes do we behold and see the reward of the wicked, because you, Lord God, we have made you, Lord, our refuge, even the Most High, our habitation. There shall no evil befall us, neither any plague come near our dwelling, for you give your angels charge over us to keep us in all our ways. They bear us up in their hands, lest we dash our foot against the stone. We tread upon the lion and adder, the young lion and the dragon, we trample under feet. Father, because you have set your love upon us, and we have set our love upon you, therefore you deliver us. You set us on high because we've known your name. We call upon you, and you answer us. You are with us in trouble. You deliver us and honor us. With long life, you satisfy us and show us your salvation. Amen. You talk to the Lord and let the Holy Spirit guide you. Amen. Let's stand. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Father, we give you praise. We give you honor. And we give you glory. Holy Spirit, in the name of Jesus, we do acknowledge you. We ask you to help us right now to pray for divine protection. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Not only for ourselves, but also for others. Glory, hallelujah, Lord God. We just give you praise and honor and glory, Lord God, for the divine protection that you have given unto us, Lord. In the name of Jesus. Sasala la kinda da bakahaya. Amabababababanda de bede de bahaya. Alalala malala kinda da mahaya ye here, Lord God. Amamamamamamanda de bede. Alalala balala kinda da maya salala kinda da bakaya ye here. Thank you. Alalala maya here. Alalala malala kinda da maya salala kaya ye here, Lord God. Amamanda de bedea. Alalala malala kinda da bakaya. We thank you for it. You give your angels charge over us. Oh, we thank you, Lord. Thank you for your love, Lord. You love us, Lord. Glory to God. Hallelujah. We love you, Lord God. Hallelujah, Lord God. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. It's in the name of Jesus, Lord God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Lord God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Divine protection, Lord God. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. All right, you may be seated. I'm going to give this my best shot. I told y'all that I wanted to do prayer and obedience before the end of the semester. Y'all remember that? All right. Chapter 9, book 2. I thought it was, for some reason, I was just led that that's the way we wanted to go. That's the way we want to end this semester. Amen. Talking about prayer and obedience. And we've all heard the word obedience. We all have an idea of what obedience is. I went ahead and I took the liberty and I punched it in. I Googled it. Amen. And I found this definition that really jumped out. It says, what is obedience? Compliance with an order, a request, or a law, or submission to another's authority. And in this case, we're talking about submission to God's authority. Those of you who were here, it might have been last week or the last time Apostle ministered, he was talking about spiritual authority. Mm-hmm. Y'all remember that? Mm-hmm. And Reverend Gautreaux, who's one of the ministers here and also on staff, he does a lot of teaching on spiritual authority. And he has given us some definitions of obedience. And you notice in that definition, it had submission. You know, a lot of people think that when you're in obedience, you're submitted or you're in submission. But, you know, we've learned two different things. Yes. Amen. When you think of obedience, you think of behavior. Right. You think of an act. Right. Okay. Submission goes much deeper. Yes. It's an attitude. Yes. It's from the heart. Amen. Yeah. Reverend Gautreaux demonstrates a lot of times how you can be obedient in action, but not submitted. Right. Yeah. In your heart. You know, you can go, we call it going through the motions. Right. Y'all know that. Kids do it all the time. Right. You know, you'll tell them to do something and they really, you know, under their breath, they're fussing and they're carrying on and you don't know what all they're saying. But, you know, they'll go ahead and do it, but it's not with a heart of love, a heart of gratitude. Amen. So it's not in submission, but they're being obedient. Amen. So what we're talking about, when we're talking about obedience in God, we want to have not only just the behavior, but we want to have the heart to go with it. Amen. We want to be obedient in our hearts. We want to be submitted in our hearts. Mr. Bounds, our author, he says, obedience is doing God's will. It is keeping his commandments. And then he brings us over to James chapter 2, verse 10. And he says, whosoever shall keep the whole law. Now, this is really stiff here. And yet offend in one point is guilty of all. Yes. Amen. See, that's why Jesus had to come, because, you know, we couldn't do that. We couldn't keep it on our own. Amen. But now we can through Jesus Christ. It is important for you to keep some words in mind as we talk about obedience. Again, I told you obedience and I told you submission. Okay, those are two words. Disobedience and rebellion. Okay? Anytime we fail to obey, or anytime we disobey, we're treading on being rebellious. Amen? Just like our children, when they don't obey us, what? They're rebellious, right? Well, when we have a command from God and we fail to obey, we are rebelling against the authority of Almighty God. Amen? And Mr. Bounds is showing us how that when we disobey, or when we're disobedient, our prayers are going to be hindered. Okay? Your prayers are going to be hindered. He says the spirit that prompts a man to break one commandment is the spirit that may move him to break them all. Yes. You know, just one, you know, that's what we think of, you know. And when I think of commandments, don't go back to the Ten Commandments. Amen. You know, that's what we always do. The Ten Commandments is the thou shalt nots. Amen. Start thinking about what are we supposed to be doing? You know, what did Jesus tell us to do? We know two main ones. Love the Lord thy God with all our heart, right? And love our brothers as ourselves, okay? So we're going to start there. We're not going to look at the thou shalt not. But, and you got to understand, you know, we've talked a little bit about being led by the Spirit in this class. That when you pray, God is going to begin to speak to you. Well, he's always speaking. But when we pray, it puts us in a position to actually hear what it is that he's saying. And what we have to do, I mean, that's what this lesson on obedience is all about. When God speaks to us, he's expecting us to do to do what he's telling us to do. Amen. Amen. Keep in mind that he's only going to tell us to do things that are for our good. It's for our good. Amen. You know, we sing this song, you know, go to the right, you know. Well, rebellion will either stand still or go to the left, you know. But when he says go to the right, and don't forget, if he said go to the right three steps, don't go five. Because there's something in his instructions about the three. Amen. He didn't tell you five. He said three. So not only obey, but follow the instructions that you're being given. Amen. Now, I had a good example for you. Turn to 1 Samuel. You're going to have to get your Bibles for this one. I think Mr. Bounds gives us only one verse from 1 Samuel 15. Now, we all know about Saul, right? We all know about Saul. I guess I just didn't realize that Saul, he was just telling the half truth. We're going to see what God told him through the man of God. Okay. Pay attention to that. Through the man of God. Okay. He told him, you know, this is what I want you to do. All right. 1 Samuel 15. I think we're going to start reading at verse 1. It's going to take us a little while. But I want you to see this. I mean, you want to talk about obedience and the consequences for not obeying. Okay? And how easy it is. Well, let's start at verse 1. Samuel also said unto Saul, the Lord sent me to anoint thee to be king over his people, over Israel. Now therefore hearken thou unto the voice of the words of the Lord. To whose voice? The voice of the words of the Lord. Okay, verse 2. Thus saith the Lord of hosts. This is what Samuel is telling Saul. I remember that which Amalek did to Israel, how he laid wait for him in the way when he came up from Egypt. Now go and smite Amalek and utterly destroy all that they have and spare them not, but slay both man and woman, infant and suckling, ox and sheep, camel and ass. And you see what it is, you know, these were enemies and this is what they did. And so judgment has now come on, and it's going to be the Amalekites, okay? So he gives Saul the assignment. Say, this is what I want you to go and do. Verse 5. Verse 4. And Saul gathered the people together and numbered them in Telaim, 200,000 footmen, 10,000 men of Judah. And Saul came to a city of Amalek and laid wait in the valley. And Saul said unto the Kenites, look what he did. Go, depart, get you down from among the Amalekites, lest I destroy you with them. For ye showed kindness. Is that what the prophet told him? Mm-mm, he didn't tell him that. He says, for you showed kindness to all the children of Israel when they came up out of Egypt. So the Kenites departed from among the Amalekites. And Saul smote the Amalekites from Havilah until thou comest to Shur, that is over against Egypt. And he took Agag, the king of the Amalekites, alive, and utterly destroyed all the people with the edge of the sword. Verse 9. But Saul and the people spared Agag, and the best of the sheep, and of the oxen, and of the fatlings, and the lambs, and all that was good, and would not utterly destroy them, but everything that was vile and refuse, that they destroyed utterly. Verse 10. Then came the word of the Lord unto Samuel, saying, it repented me that I have set up Saul to be king, for he is turned back from following me, and hath not performed my commandments. And it grieved Samuel, and he cried unto the Lord all night. And when Samuel rose early to meet Saul in the morning, it was told Samuel, saying, Saul came to Carmel, and behold, he set him up a place, and is gone about and passed on and gone down to Gilgal. Verse 13, and Samuel came to Saul, and Saul said unto him, blessed be thou of the Lord. I have performed the commandment of the Lord. Isn't that something? He says, I never saw that before. You know, I don't know why. I don't know how I missed that, but he did say that, you know. I have performed. You know, instead of saying, I'm so sorry, you know, and later on he's gonna give some excuses about the people. And Samuel said, what meaneth this? Samuel said, what meaneth then this bleeding of the sheep in my ears and the lowing of the oxen which I hear? And Saul said, they have brought them from the Amalekites, for the people spared the best of the sheep and of the oxen to sacrifice unto the Lord thy God, and the rest we have utterly destroyed. Then Samuel said unto Saul, stay, and I will tell thee what the Lord has said to me this night. And he said unto him, say on. And Samuel said, when thou was little in thine own sight, was thou not made the head of the tribes of Israel? And the Lord anointed thee king over Israel. And the Lord sent thee on a journey and said, go and utterly destroy the sinners, the Amalekites, and fight against them until they be consumed. Wherefore then didst thou not obey, there you go, the voice of the Lord, but didst fly upon the spoil and didst evil in the sight of the Lord? And Saul said unto Samuel, yeah, I have obeyed the voice of the Lord and have gone the way. Yep. I have obeyed the voice of the Lord and have gone the way which the Lord sent me, and have brought Agag, the king of the Amalek, and have utterly destroyed the Amalekites. Verse 21, but the people took of the spoil sheep and oxen, the people. You notice that? The people. The chief of the things which should have been utterly destroyed to sacrifice unto the Lord thy God in Gilgal. And verse 22, and this is the one Mr. Bounds refers to, and Samuel said, hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifice as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. Amen. And then we know, you know, if you just go on and on, he was no longer king. Amen. For his refusal to obey the word of the Lord and follow instructions. Amen. So, you know, God takes obedience very, very seriously. You know, it's not a plaything with God. We have to understand that. Mr. Bound says, I think I gotta flip over a page. Oh, nothing short of absolute obedience will satisfy God. Nothing short of absolute obedience will satisfy God. Amen. Under Moses' law, to obey, as we just read, was looked upon as being better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. You know, a lot of times when we fail to obey God, then we want to do some sacrifice. You know, oh, Lord, have mercy. Oh, Lord, forgive me. You know, and we think that's going to be the end of it. But sometimes there are consequences. Right. It's not that God is doing it. It's like you failed to obey. You failed to do what he told you to do. And now you've opened yourself up for this thing to happen to you. Deuteronomy chapter 5, verse 29, it reads, oh, that there were such a heart in them, talking about the Israelites, the people of God, amen, that they would fear me. Mm-mm. That sounds familiar, doesn't it? Yeah. They would fear me and keep all my commandments always, that it might be well with them. That's the only reason he want them to obey, that it might be well with them, amen? And with their children forever. Mr. Bonds goes on and he explains, obedience is a high virtue, the quality of a soldier. Amen. Apostle just told us about an army, right? Okay. To obey is the quality of a soldier. Amen. It is the first and last lesson. He must learn to practice it without questioning or complaining at all times. Amen. Okay, when an order is given, obey. Don't question it and don't complain. Amen. But you know, we all have this tendency. Well, how come, what? My big thing is I try to reason. You know, it's like I immediately go, well, yeah. You know, is there another way, you know? I even asked the Lord that one time, is there another way, Lord? You know, well, I'm glad he didn't answer me audibly, you know. He was just silent. Just, no, there is no other way. This is it. This is it. Amen? All right. Obedience is faith in action. You know, it's what you believe in. You're going to do it because you're in faith. Amen? It is the outflow, the very test of love. Isn't that something? The outflow and the very test of love. John 14:21 says, he that hath my commandments and keepeth them, this sounds familiar, doesn't it, to y'all? He it is that loveth me. You know, if you love me, you're going to have my commandments and you're going to keep them if you really love me. Amen. So it's the test of love. Obedience is love, Mr. Bounds says. He says it is actually love. John 15:10, if ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. And then over in John 8:29, Jesus said, "For I do always those things that please him," meaning pleasing the Father. Jesus' whole mission was to be obedient to the Father and to please the Father by being obedient. Amen? Amen. Everywhere we look, all his concern was, you know, for the Father, what the Father wanted. I desire to please the Father. Amen? Amen? The gift of the Holy Spirit in full measure and in a richer experience depends on loving obedience. Amen? Depends on loving obedience. If we look back in John 14, verse 15 and 16, if you love me, keep my commandments. This is what Jesus is saying. And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Amen. Obedience to God is a condition of spiritual thrift, inward satisfaction, stability of heart. Obedience, according to the scriptures, opens the gates to the holy city and gives access to the tree of life. In Revelations, and these scriptures here are in your book. When they're not, I'll let you know. Revelations 22:14, "Blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life." Look, do his commandments. Look at it. Do his commandments. That blessed are they who are obedient. Amen? Amen. They have a right to the tree of life, and they may enter in through the gates into the city, heavenly city. Amen? Amen. Again, nothing short of absolute obedience will satisfy God. Can a man receive moral ability that helps him to obey every one of God's commandments? Can he do that? Yes, yes. Everybody looking at me like, what? What's the answer? What's the answer? What's the answer? We tempted to say no. Because, you see, I guess after the fall, he couldn't do it. You know, and they tried all those years and years and years. They couldn't do it. But then God sent Jesus. Amen. And through Jesus Christ and grace, amen, grace, we are able, you know, and the help of the Holy Ghost, we are able to keep the commandments of God. Amen. You know, we can't do it in and of ourselves. You know, nobody can help us but the Holy Spirit. Amen. Because Jesus has already paid the price. Right? Y'all got that? Okay. So, in answer to the question, can a man receive moral ability that helps him to obey every one of God's commands? Yeah. Mr. Bounds says, certainly he can. Certainly, certainly. He says, by the same token, man can, through prayer, obtain ability, and we know that's grace, right? To do the very thing, and that is obey the commandments of God. Does God give commandments that men cannot obey? No. Now everybody should answer that one. That was an easy one. That was an easy one. God does not give commandments that men cannot obey. In all scripture, not a single instance is recorded of God having commanded any man to do a thing that was beyond his power. To infer this is to slander the very character of God, that he would even ask you to do something that he knew and you knew you couldn't do. And what happens with us as Christians, you know, our apostle was telling us that tonight, you know, we always, you know, when God gives us a command, you know, we won't look at it and say, oh, I can't. You know, Moses said that too, huh? You know, I can't speak. But you got to know that when God is telling you to do something, I don't want to use the ability. His ability, his enablement, that's a good word, thank you, is already there. He already know what he going to do for you in order for you to carry this out. Remember we talked about trust? Remember the trust? You got to just trust God that if he's giving you a command to do something, He has already got it planned how he's going to help you to do it. Always remember, I'm not by myself. All heaven is backing me up. That's how I'm standing here before y'all. In the natural. I mean, I know there's no such thing as a bench member, but you know, there's some things I could do behind the scenes that I would prefer doing. But then I was given an assignment. And when the assignment came, there was fear, there was trembling, but I had to trust God, and I had to trust my man of God, because I knew that my man of God had to hear from God, because he would never, you know, say for me to do this. And then every week I stand here, you know, I'm acknowledging God. I'm asking him to speak through me. There are things that he want y'all to know about prayer, and he has chosen me to tell you. So it's not me. You know, I'm just trying to follow orders to the best of my ability, to follow the orders of God, follow the commands of God, believing that when I give it to you, your life is going to be blessed, your prayer life. Like I said, we're maturing in prayer. We're all maturing in prayer. And it's as a result of what God is saying to us in these lessons. Amen. You know, we have learned more from Mr. Bounds than second-year students than we learned last year. Right. I mean, we thought we learned a lot last year, and it was good. But Mr. Bounds has taken us deeper. Okay, we are now an apostolic church. Amen. This is a school that's being run under the authority of an apostle. Yes. So your prayer life, it has to be different. It has to be more sincere. It's got to be stronger. And you got to know what you're doing. Amen. Amen. You got to know what you're doing. And that's what y'all have done. You know, your prayer life is not the same. You know, it's not the same. We're all, even mine. You know, I'm one of those people, you know, we talk about it among the intercessors. We read so many scriptures, y'all don't know. We just read scriptures. And it's like there are some mornings, you know, when I'm praying, and it's like, man, I didn't read so-and-so, and I didn't read, and it's like I feel like I'm half-dressed because I didn't read the scripture. But what I'm finding, God is changing my prayer life. I am paying more attention to him in my prayer than I am the scriptures. Now, I still run and read some of them, you know what I'm saying? that's just even, it's gonna take a little while. But he's just opening things up, and my prayer. I am more available now to pray about some of the things that he wants us to pray about. You know, he'll call a name, and now I know I got to go down the road and pray for this person. You know, sometimes it's family members, sometimes it's church members, sometimes it's somebody else, you know, but now I know I'm trucking along with him. And sometimes he takes me on these little paths of remembrance of the things that he has done for me, a testimony I have heard, you know, and it's strengthening my prayer life. There's a shift. That's all I can tell you. There's a shift in my prayer life. I'm beginning to rely more and more on him. You know, we talked about scriptionized. Remember that last week? I'm becoming less scriptionized. You know, I'm looking at the scripture, like I told you, Psalm 91. Now, that's just something I just pray that. I just pray that. But I have to believe God and trust God. I prayed it enough that if something happened one day, I can't read it, the world not going in, you know, because I used to feel like, well, Lord, no, something might happen. No, nothing's going to happen. God got this. Amen. He knows what he's doing. And we are learning to trust him. And in this lesson, we are learning to obey him. Obey him. That's the main thing. Don't worry about the outcome. We're not going to worry. He got it. All things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. Amen. In this class, we have prayed for purpose. Amen. We have prayed. And you got to know that he's working on it. We don't see it, but it's behind the scenes. You know, it's in the spirit realm. It's in the spirit realm. And some things take a little bit longer. Just a little bit. Some of them happen right away. But the majority of them take a little while. You know, God got to make sure. Remember, we learned that too. He got to make sure we're ready. You know, because you don't want nothing until you're ready for it. Amen. Because, you know, he knows when you're ready. He's working it out for your good. Amen. Amen. All right. Let's see. Another word I want you to remember here. Surrender. Amen. Surrender. Obedience requires surrender. It is the surrender of the will, talking about your will, to the will of another. In this case, it is God. Amen. Surrender of your will to God. In principle, obedience to God is the same quality as obedience to earthly parents. It implies, in general, the giving up of one's own way to follow that of another. Amen. Obedience implies submission, there's that word we looked at before, of oneself to the authority and requirements of a parent. And in this case, we're talking about Father God. Amen. Commands from our Heavenly Father or our earthly father are directed by love, and it's in our best interest. It is important for us to pay attention and obey them. God issues commands to us in order to promote our good. Remember that. Amen. To promote our good. Amen. Amen. Hebrews 11:6. Mr. Bounds says, obedience brings its own reward. You've got to know for yourself there are rewards to being obedient. Amen. There are rewards. In Hebrews 11:6, and you know it, this is a verse that we've looked at many times, but without faith it is impossible to please him, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. And you're not only that seeking him means obeying him too. Amen? So God rewards obedience. Amen. Yeah. Amen. That's it for tonight. I got 51 seconds. Y'all be blessed. And we'll try to go just a little bit further. I'll pick out high points. I think next week is our last class for this semester. According to the schedule, that's, you know, it's always subject to change. Yeah.